You all right? Am I all right?
Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, wank. Thanks. How are you?
Well, surviving.
Okay, so basically, Granville last week got awarded $25,000
yeah.
additional costs by the court, yeah?
Yeah.
We were supposed to pay him by Friday. We haven't. We haven't done anything, is the truth. We've heard nothing from him, as far as I know. I'm behind on my emails, so we expected a statutory demand to come in.
Yeah.
Statutory demand hasn't come in. He's probably sitting there thinking, what is their fucking game plan here? Do they want me to wind the company up again or try and wind the company up? Are they trying to edge for that? Are they doing this? Are they doing that? He'll be looking at all the angles. The reality
yeah.
is
yeah.
we've just been shit. Yeah. But that's not shit, but we just haven't done anything. Right.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Anyway, so I've just had a call with David Bailey. I've just had a call with Richard Rones, who's the insolvency practitioner. The situation is as follows. Ultimately, there is an argument to pay the $25,000. The company does not have it. At the moment, the company is basically just breaking even, just paying salaries and so on. And I'll come back to that in a minute. I want your advice on that as well. Right. One sec, mate.
Please hold.
Sorry, mate. So, you there, Matt?
Yep.
Yeah, so basically what they've advised, so basically, historically, and kind of default position for Adam and I, is we've tried to, and you've seen this with Schneider and everything, we have basically just tried to pay things off, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So we've basically just given money, thinking, we'll give money and hopefully the problem goes away and we can get on with a nice, easy life.
Yep.
History shows us that that never fucking happens. We pay the money and still have fucking loads of hassle.
Yeah.
Now, ultimately, we're in a position now. David Bailey spoke to us this morning. He said, look, I would just pay the $25,000 to Ranveer so that he's no longer a creditor to Ran Limited. He can't investigate this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I then spoke to Richard Rones, who's the liquidation guy, and he's far more informed on liquidation than Bailey is, by the way.
Yeah.
Not an insolvency fucking lawyer. And he said, my view is don't ever pay money until you have to pay it. Yeah, right. And he also said it would look a bit weird. Why would you, as Ran Limited, be making one payment to Ranveer Singh, yeah, and then why, and then you're not paying the XMRC or you're not paying because basically Ran Limited's debts are potentially Dow Jones, but that's a big legal case, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're going to do whatever they do. Yes. So that they may challenge. Well, firstly, Dow Jones have got a prove they've got a right to do the case in this country.
Yeah.
And B, they've got to prove that Jet is basically the same company as RAN and they don't recognise the Jet thing. So there's a bunch of hurdles they've got to go through.
Yeah.
And they're going to do that whatever they want to do anyway. And there's fuck all we can do about it because they've got a bank balance that literally just embarrasses us and we're not even close to being able to do it. So let's just forget the Dow thing. It's pretty much irrelevant in terms of they will do what they'll do. However, burying Ran Limited does create another hurdle for them and arguably gets rid of Dow completely.
Yeah.
Yes. Potentially. If we leave Ranveer, now the Richard Rones guy is basically saying, I wouldn't pay Ranveer the $25,000. Yeah. He's saying, you know, you can always pay that in the future if it becomes an issue. Someone can pay him off, make him an offer, la, la, la. And even if you do pay him the $25,000, it doesn't make any difference because he's still allowed to approach the insolvency practitioner as an anonymous person. Yeah. And highlight anything. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know this either. But yeah, he's still allowed to approach just as a member of the public and say, hello, Mr. Insolvency Practitioner, as a officer of the court, please can you look at this, this and this. So please can you investigate Matthew Chung, please can you investigate the Ranjet deal, please can you investigate blah, blah. Now, obviously, the company will be making a statement when it goes into insolvency ID today or tomorrow, all being well, yeah, saying the reason that the company has been unable to continue is because it lost its licenses, could no longer function, Reuters, blah, 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 had to pay £1 million because of Ranveer's, and by the way, it'll all be biased towards Ranveer, obviously not yourself, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, the issue So this is all good. So basically then I say, fine, right, look, we've been talking about it for fucking months and months and months and months. We need to run limited up and we need to do it now ASAP.
Yeah.
Now, the way the process works is you have a board meeting, which can happen today. Yeah, Mr. Wood. So there'll be I'll be filing today something to say, basically resigning Mr. Ivailo Dimitrov the day after he joined, saying it was an admin error. That will just leave Mr. Williams. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Williams will basically then say, look, you know, I intended to try and do something with this company, but ultimately it doesn't look like it's possible. Hasn't traded for a long time. It's got a very bad reputation. It can no longer trade. And that's what the bank accounts will show, no income, no outgoings, all alarming. Therefore, you know, given the potential legal costs associated with the Dow Jones case, given the debt it owes to Jet, given the debt it owes to Trade the News, given the debt it owes to Mr. Singh, it wishes to cease trading and put the company into voluntary liquidation, therefore seeks the shareholders' approval to do that. If the shareholders are willing to agree to that, then that can happen in 1, 2, 3 days, which is what we want. Yeah, then we get to appoint the insolvency practitioner, as in Richard Rones, and therefore Richard Rones, anyone comes to Richard, he'll go, well, I'm not going to look into that, Mr. Singh, or whatever, because you're basically the fucking crook and lol, fuck off.
Yeah.
Now, the risk is, if we don't do that within the next 1, 2, 3 days,
Brian could just stat demand.
No, he probably won't even issue a stat demand. That's probably why we haven't heard from him. He probably will say, no point, given the history of these guys, I'm just going to file straight for a winding up petition at the court.
Right.
And a court winding up petition overrules a voluntary liquidation, and therefore he potentially will get the chance to appoint an insolvency practitioner.
Yeah.
Which none of us want.
Yeah.
I have one issue with everything I've just said. I assume everyone will be on board with this. My only issue is Mehul. I haven't spoken to Mehul for a while. He can't stop. So basically, the winding up will happen. You only need 75% of RAND shares, which we have, yeah? But he holds, I think his number is 12%, and you need 90% to call. You need over 90% to call a short.
I think he probably would. I think he can see, you know, with all these things going on, I think he would agree with the same logic.
But the point is, the reason I'm ringing you is, can you please speak to Mehul and ask him if he would be willing? And that's not me being a chicken, mate. It's just...
Yeah.
I don't want to ring up and be confrontational with him and la la la. And you know, I've said to you before, Mehul will get his shares, you know, like all of that is going to happen. And actually, if I come to it now with all the stuff on Jet and VAT and stuff, yeah, they're asking who owns what. I'm going to have to say that Mr. Patel owns, although his shares haven't been assigned, I'm going to have to tell the VAT office and stuff that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah? So, but the point is, if Mehul's not on side, yeah, then we have to formally go through a 3-week notice period, yeah, to advise the shareholders,
yeah.
And in those 3 weeks, likely Rambi has done his winding up petition and he's appointed his own IP and we're all fucking over a barrel.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You ring Mehul and Anthony and ask for their agreement to hold a short-term shareholders meeting to wind up RAN within the next 1 to 3 days.
Yeah.
And basically, the reasoning is, as I've just told you, that it prevents Ranvier from being able to appoint the IP.
Yeah. So how would this look in front of the HMRC stuff?
It's got nothing to do with it because HMRC are looking at Jets, not looking at RAM.
Right, okay.
The HMRC stuff, they'd basically come back with a bunch of questions, which is what I've just alluded to. Who owns this? What's his role? What's his role? What's his role? And we're just going to tell the truth like it is.
I will
share that with everybody and say that this is my view of what the situation is. Does everyone concur? Because I don't want to be going to the HMRC or the VAT guys without everyone being on board.
And is that what, just Jet Services or Jet Group? Or
you can forget the matter but basically Jet and Jet Group, we're basically saying that, look, we have the Jet Group and Jet Services. The plan was originally for that to be a holding company and this, that and the other.
Yep.
Never really worked out. Blah, blah, blah. Effectively, they're one in the same. Blah, blah.
Cool. The other thing then from...
i.e., we're not going to lie to the HMRC. We're going to be open and honest with them and tell them the truth and tell them everything that's happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was set up to
In the meantime, I'm just trying to finish up the GCV accounts and the other accounts to try and take all the liability away from Jet,
yeah,
so that we can swallow it up. But as I said to you before, this will only be a once-off gig. Like, Adam and I can only do this once.
Yeah.
Then the other point I've come to is, at the moment, we're probably breaking even, right? As in monthly, yeah?
Okay.
Brad's numbers are massively down. We've talked about that. We've got a plan to do that, yeah?
Yeah.
We agree. I haven't heard from him in the last couple of days, but ultimately he's going to speak to that Greg Ellis guy. They're going to come over to the UK. They're going to work with, and I won't be involved in it, but ultimately it'll just be Yogesh, Brad, Greg, confidentially Greg. Make the best fucking US service you can. End of.
Yeah.
I don't need to know the details. As long as you don't use any services you're not allowed to use,
yeah,
don't listen to me, then that's their fault. Yeah, if people are willing to take that risk, which I understand people might be wishing to do, but I'm certainly not. You know what I'm saying? Wait, wait.
Yeah.
And they get on and improve the US service. But it does bring me to something else. At the moment, I've basically got... So forget the... Just assume the desk is a desk, right? Either if, and I'm doing numbers on the desk at the moment. If it's running rich, it's running rich. If it's not, it's not. Whatever. The desk is producing a product. Off the desk, you've got people trying to sell. Ultimately, you've got Aubrey. Aubrey hasn't... You and I both agree Aubrey's a great guy. I spoke to him the other day. I said, look, mate, I was talking about costs. I was like, I'm not going to sack you, blah, blah. I said, look, what am I supposed to do? Sack you. Imagine if it comes down to it. Sack you or sack Ruth. I'm not going to sack you, am I? And he went, well, I don't believe that word. And I'm like, well, it's just not very nice to hear, because I actually am trying. Like, I honestly want Aubrey to stay. I think he's, you know, he's a big fucking glue to the ship.
Yeah.
But the problem is, he hasn't done any of... So, again, if Aubrey was replacing you, let's be honest, he hasn't done desk and he hasn't done sales. And the problem I've got is, who is growing sales? As in, what's happening... What's clearly happening is, basically, we are continuing to maintain revenue off the back of the Ransport brand. Yeah? Now, our dynamics of our customer base may be changing, yeah? Thus, that we need more customers than before, because our clients are smaller and not as big. But we haven't done any white label sales. We haven't, you know, we haven't really moved forward with, you know, Fed. We haven't really moved forward with BOE. We haven't really moved forward with IPC dealer desks. It sounds like Alex isn't really nailing it. When I spoke to a bunch of people last week, you know, I kind of went through and said, look, it's a hard conversation, but ultimately, and you know, you can share all of this with Metal, mate, but it's confidential in terms of senior management. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that first people were like, well, probably Alex. Yeah. As in, he'd be the first person I'd have to let go.
Yeah.
Now, I brought Alex in originally on 1500 quid a month as an IB guy. I told him, you've got to fucking link in with Stuart. Like, Stuart's your golden ticket. Stuart knows everyone in the market. Stuart knows the market. She's got loads of connections. As in, Stuart's got all his failings. He's a fucking nightmare to work with. He's a pain in the ass. But if you actually leverage the opportunities that he can open the doors for you, it's a golden fucking ticket for you coming in as somebody that doesn't know the market, hasn't got any networks, blah, blah, blah. Yeah? That worked well initially. Yeah. Then Alex left, and Alex said, I just can't cope with it mentally, blah, blah. Now, Alex will blame that on, basically, there was repercussions because of Stuart and I effectively butted heads over his contract, yes? You know this?
Yeah.
Like, everyone was putting pressure on me, just sign the fucking thing, don't put this in there, don't put that in there. And I was relentless in terms of, no, it has to go in there. He's promised to do those fucking things. And if we don't have them in the contract, we're not protected from his litigation with his fucking Harry.
Yeah.
So I believe still to this day, I absolutely did the right thing. But I did relinquish, case in point, I think I told you about, you know, we gave him $7,500 as a consultancy fee, which was to cover his personal cost to a criminal lawyer regarding Harry.
Yeah.
I think that should have been a loan. In fact, I don't think it should have been anything. I don't think we should have given him the money at all. Yeah. But I was getting so much pressure from Mehul and Jason that I was, why are you fucking screwing Stuart into the ground? Why don't you just fucking pay Kelly and get him off your back? And I was like, because I want to fucking pay Kelly. I want Kelly off our back. But we have to have something that protects the fucking company. Yeah. I can't just give him the money. There has to be a document that says we are protected. Yeah. And I stand by that, and I think I absolutely did the right thing. And actually, if you, my honest belief is that Mehul and Jason, if they'd known the real facts of everything, they'd have probably supported me and said, don't give him the $7,500, don't give him this, don't give him that. Like, it cost us more than it should have done.
Yeah.
Okay? Anyway, is what it is. The contract was done. It's done. It has protected the company. We may have paid a few more quid than we had to. But I do end up in this situation today that ultimately we've got this team on the ground, right? I'm not there because of whatever reasons, yes? And albeit I hope you go back or whatever. But at the moment, we don't have anybody with a passion and drive to really get out there and fucking sell and drive new opportunities, new product development, blah, blah. And, you know, the reality is that Aubrey's been there 2.5 years and he's held a steady ship. And I think my hat's off to him that, and we owe him for that, and he's a good bloke and all these kind of things. But part of me is like, we've got to take a bit of a punt and maybe bring Stuart in.
Right. Okay.
And that's, so this is, so I've talked to you about the Rand limited thing. This is a completely separate conversation. And I'm asking, I'm ringing and asking you, other pal, who understands the industry, the advice. Because at the moment, yeah, we're breaking even, right? Okay. Now, this thing in the States, right, that's going to cost $5,000 a month to bring in this guy, Greg Ellis. Yeah?
Yeah.
The only way we can pay for that is for me not to take my salary or my or the commission statement, but the consultancy amount to GCB.
Yeah.
Right? Fine. I've agreed to do that. That's, I want to grow the business, and fine, that happens. So, but that's the American side of things. Yeah. Realistically, like, imagine you were back there, yeah? You would be looking, like, we, imagine you were working there, mate. You were in Aubrey's position. You and I would be talking, and I'd be like, mate, can we get out there and do the white label? And we'd have that conversation, yeah? And it'd be half our conversation, and then that would happen. Like, you would start making those white labels happen, however you needed to, using Aiden or Ruth or Alec or, you know, whoever, yeah?
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen, mate. Like, you talk about ideas and opportunities, and it just doesn't happen. And I do wonder if the only way, maybe we have got to take a punt and let fucking Stuart have a go and see if he can drive forward some of this shit.
Would Stuart want to do that?
Yes, he wants to do it, but he's pretty pissed. He's kind of like two brains. He's like, he's trying to, like, Stuart and I, you know what, it's a bit like you and me, mate. Like, you know, we've been to war and back. I think he probably similar to you. He'd be like, I don't think George has ever done everything right. I don't think George is perfect, but ultimately I do trust him. I think he's a good guy. I am a bit frustrated with him. Why didn't he wind up Ran 6 months ago? You know, you could take those views on various things. Yes?
Yeah.
But deep down, there's still a good relationship with him. But we are on the cusp of losing him. He's basically been offered something else. To go and work with a guy called Alex Wilkinson, I think it is.
Yeah, name sounds familiar.
Yeah, but I think he wants. But I think, you know, but to do stuff, I think along the lines of this, that, and the other, and maybe he's full of shit. Maybe he can't deliver anything. But the problem is that the other thing I've got to consider is when I speak like to Yogesh, right?
I thought doesn't Yogesh hate him?
No, this is the weird fucking thing. So I've got people saying they hate him, you can't trust him, all these kind of things. That's all I've heard for so long, yeah? Now I've got Yogesh saying, yeah, happy to work with him. And, you know, and Yogesh is saying to me, I'm skeptical about Alex. And almost basically saying, look, you need someone like Stuart because he understands the market, he understands how to grow it, blah, blah. And I think, you know, Yogesh is frustrated with the lack of progress that's happening at the business.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, you know, Alex is trying to do this IPC thing. Sounds like he's fucking up. I mean, the problem is, mate, really, if you look at that group, right, look, who understands the market, like the squat market, like, well, it isn't me. It isn't Aubrey. I'm not saying Aubrey doesn't, no, Aubrey understands the market, so I understand that, but I'm talking about specifically the squat market and the, you know, the, like, things like Fed accreditation, banks accreditation, fast feeds, you know, growing the product to do better things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Stuart's great. Right. Stuart's the only
and
guy.
And willing to work 12 hours a day to do it because he's passionate. I think part of the reason is also he wants to bury Harry, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Which is only a good thing for us.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, look, how can you... He's saying he'd been offered $55,000, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, he was getting paid $3,600 as a consultant, so somewhere there's not going to be a massive difference. I don't really want to bring him in on PAYE for various political reasons, but you know, you bring him in as a consultant and say, look, we'll pay you this, pay that, whatever. It's not going to be a massive difference. Point is that, you know, I gave Alex a punt 3 months ago.
Yeah,
I bought Alex Piper.
Yeah, you've given Alex long enough because he's been around for, what, 2 years now? And has he actually come up with anything? I mean, a sales guy should start coming up with stuff after, what, 6 months, 12 months? He's had plenty of time.
Well, that's how I feel. And I'll be able to tell you in the next couple of days what Alex has cost us, but I imagine it's probably 50 grand at this point, and I imagine the payback is nothing.
Yeah.
And the other thing is he's completely alienated Stuart, completely alienated John Economou, who's this Cyprus guy, who's basically Stuart's friend. It's like, look, mate, at the end of the day, you know, I know Stuart can be a pain in the arse, but somehow through all of the shit that we've been through, the same with me and you, yeah? Even with me and Mehl, even though Mehl and I are a bit at the moment, honestly, like, I've told you, I don't hold I want Mehl back involved. I'm just, I know he's frustrated with the pace things have happened. I know he's this, that, and the other. But I don't hold, you know, I still respect him as a person, blah, blah. And I feel like I brought Alex in and I said, mate, 3 months, I want a fucking sales strategy defined. I want commission strategy defined. I want a, you know, like top target list, which should be like IPC, white labels, blah, blah. And that hasn't happened. So I can't see that he justifies what he's getting paid. And the bigger problem is that when I speak to Yogesh, he's like, skeptical, was his word that when he replied about Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yep.
I can't have Yogesh thinking that we're not moving forward, because if they do, I lose Yogesh and then we are in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do wonder, do I bring it? I mean, because at the end of the day, nothing's permanent, right? So I am now thinking maybe we've got to take a punt. And I'm asking you, basically, for what your view is. I'm taking a view, look, do we bring him in? And we can either say, look, Alex, we've given you 3 months. We haven't had this and this. You're now going to have to work with Stuart. So he's now head of development, business development. Yeah. Or he brings Stuart in as head of product development alongside Alex. Yeah. The problem I've got is that Stuart at the moment is saying, red line in the sand, I will not work with Alex. Because he feels completely betrayed. He feels, basically, Stuart feels that and it's true to a degree, when Alex first got involved on 1500 quid, Stuart kind of felt sorry for him. So Stuart kind of opened doors, said, look, we'll go and sell this, we'll go and do that, we'll go and do this, and brought him in on everything, yeah? And then Alex gets appointed to this, like Stuart ran me today and go, did you give $5,000 to Alex as a signing on bonus? Yeah?
Right.
Now, Stuart...
Well, and Alex never told Stuart that.
No, but I don't lie to people, mate. So I said to Stuart, and I didn't want to say yes to this because I knew Stuart would be like, fucking hell, what? Like, he thinks, what the fuck? Like, how the fuck are you paying Alex to do this? But the whole reason was that Alex was supposed to be the fucking link and the coordination piece to manage the relationships internally and externally between Aubrey, Stuart, Alex, Brad, Aiden, Ruth, John Economou in Cyprus, and basically bring all those people together to drive revenue. That was what his remit was.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't done it.
It sounds to me that you don't need him. He's not serving any purpose. And I think it's probably worth the punt with Stuart.
And that's probably what I think too.
Yeah, because I mean, Alex, he's had long enough now to...
And also, mate, don't get me wrong, like, and Alex...
Isn't he your mate as well?
Hey, Alex, I don't care. No, mate. Yeah,
right.
He's my mate, but I've told you, this is about... It's no longer... Listen, you're my mate, yeah? Mehl, whether he knows it or not, is my mate, yeah? Adam's my mate, my family, blah, blah. I have to make it... I want to make it success of the business, mate, and one person cannot... I will not jeopardise the success of the business.
No, of course not. Of course not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but then I won't bury him. It's the same thing with Aubrey, like... I almost feel like I want to say to Aubrey in the long run, look, mate, you know, you've got to fucking pitch in on the sales stuff, mate.
Yeah.
You know, look, like take an example. Look, you're on this salary, you'll stay on that salary for 6 months, yeah? But after 6 months, and like this would be like incredibly generous, after 6 months it's going to wind down slowly to maybe 40 grand, yeah? But I'm giving you 6 months, to make 30% fucking IBs on anything you sell. So I would expect by the time it winds down, you're already earning twice what you earn today.
I don't think he would like that.
No, he wouldn't like that. But he wouldn't like that, mate. But then, let's be honest, do you think I like the idea of fucking sacrificing a salary to pay for the US guy? You know, and at the end of the day, I agree with you. He wouldn't like it. And maybe we don't do it because he's too much of a leadership glued to the fucking business.
His mindset, I just don't think that would go down well because his mindset, he's a PAYE type person. You know, he is, and in his mind as well, he used to earn 120 grand. So I think if you put it down lower than what he's in at the moment, he'll probably just go find something else to do.
And do you think he could find another job?
For 40 grand, he could. So that's what he'd be thinking.
This is why I told you.
Yeah.
This is why I appreciate it.
If he's on anything from 70...
Effectively, you're saying to me, no, don't even think about that for now.
Yeah, I wouldn't, because and it's still the one thing that he's crucial for is having a body in the office. And particularly if you're going to have Stuart in there as well, then at least there's another adult to watch Stuart. Because Stuart's a bit of a diva, isn't he? And you might just... I think you just need someone at least keeping an eye on him. I don't know what their relationship is like.
With Aubrey to say, look, mate, revenue's not gone up in 2 years. Yeah?
Yeah.
We've got to try something to grow the revenue, and ultimately he's got the networks.
Yeah.
Tried to let Alex do that job. He hasn't really delivered. Yeah. And, you know, and again, I'm going to try and be kind to Alex because he's a friend of a friend or whatever, and say, look, mate, reality is, and by the way, when we brought Alex in on this deal, yeah, we did say to him, this is a 3-month thing and then we'll review. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to say to him like, look, okay, look, mate, you know, reality is you haven't really delivered the whole thing we wanted you to deliver, but, you know, we want to still, you know, provide you a pipeline. So we'll put you back on an IB, work with Stuart to do that. The problem I've got is, will Stuart agree to that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
And if Stuart says no, he won't. It's either Alex or me. What decision would you make?
If Stuart says no, I would probably just get rid of Alex anyway. He's not adding anything.
I knew you were going to say that.
Because he's not doing the job of being the point man in between all these different people that you said, and he's not bringing any sales in either. And then
I know Stuart's paying the ass, mate, yeah? But it's a bit like Joey Barton, yeah? If you're West Ham and you've got Joey Barton playing for you, he's a fucking nightmare to manage. He pisses everyone off in the fucking changing room. But actually, for West Ham, he's probably one of your best players.
Mm.
And you see what I mean? It's like we almost need that energy. I'm just like, say, for example, I don't do anything with Stuart. Yeah? And go, because I have thought about this as well. Stuart's just too much hassle, causes too much disarray, blah, blah, blah. Yeah? But then where's the growth coming from?
Exactly, and he does have, you know, I've only spent a very limited time with him, but he's got good ideas.
He understands the market and the sport market better than anybody else in that business.
Yeah.
And I think I will get some pushback about bringing him in because he's willing to work 18 hours a day.
Yeah.
And people don't, it's the same reason why people don't want me back. You know, if you're cruising and having a nice life, you can come in when you go and, do you know what I mean? When I used to be in the office, all group would be like, come on, mate, you should go home now.
Yeah.
What it really is can you go home so I can get home?
I didn't know that. I always thought Stuart was only doing like 1 hour's work a day.
No, I don't think that's true. I think.
Okay.
I think he works his nuts off. I think the problem is he's not a great completer finisher. So he opens lots of doors, but he doesn't close them.
Yeah.
But the problem is, who else have we got that's actually driving any growth? And I do come back to the very, very important thing, which is Yogesh. Yogesh does need to see and feel like we're moving forward. Otherwise, he's going to lose patience and fuck off.
Yeah, and then it's then yeah. I mean, if he did,
so basically, I'm thinking we bring Stuart in and we try, we see how it goes. If Stuart becomes a fucking nightmare that's unmanageable, then we just get rid of it.
Right? I know. I'll get rid of Alex anyway.
Or reduce him to a grand a month. quite
No, just get rid of him. He's just surplus to requirement.
Why are you saying that?
He's not brought anything in. He's not managing Stuart, and he's not managing the relationships between all the other salespeople to drive more sales. So what's the purpose of having him around?
Well, at the moment he's... Well, I spoke to Aubrey about this last month. Last week. And
I mean, I'm further away than anyone, so you know, there's probably stuff he does that I'm not aware of, but just from...
I think I need to have a conversation with Aubrey and say, look, this is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, get his opinion.
Because Aubrey will be conscious that we're, you know, we're just breaking even each month. And, you know, as much as he'll be like, fucking hell, Stuart, yeah, he might also be like, well, actually, maybe if he does grow shit, that helps all of us.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, cool. Thank you for your counsel, buddy, on that. Kind of confirms effectively what I was thinking.
Okay, yeah, I'll speak to Mel.
Basically, I just need to know, look, ultimately, we need to wind up. We need everyone to agree to do it in the next 2-3 days. Otherwise, Singh gets a chance to appoint his IP.
Yeah.
Simple as that, mate. And basically, by burying Ramley, and I know there's like the assignment thing and stuff like that, but we can sort that, you know, post-event, whatever. And you and I now, we can discuss that as going forward.
Have you got any idea where this debt is sitting on paper at the moment?
My understanding is that my understanding is that the business was sold to Jet. Yeah. Or pay. So basically, Jason came in when I'm owed this IP. It was promised to me, and even if it wasn't promised to me, I'm still owed it. I still own the IP. I'm not going to fucking license it to the company unless you pay. Fine. Company can't get a license. Ran Limited, this is. Ran Limited is now being told it can't get a license from Reuters either. So effectively, it can't function as the business it was anyway.
Yep.
So no choice but to effectively sell the business to Jason.
Yeah.
Jason owns Jet. Because of what Mehul did, which kind of fucking messed it up a bit, but ultimately, then basically, Jason agrees to team up with GCV because he doesn't know how to run a company and blah, blah. So therefore, they go forward to basically build that business, and those shares in the new company are owned by Jason and now GCV, but with the understanding that a chunk of those shares are, and we can decide how we want to play this, are due to Mehul. I would argue we don't want to state that they're due to you and Anthony, because that will basically make it look like it's just a mirror of
yep.
the old business, and that we actually haven't sold the business. All we've done is flip it.
Yeah.
And then the HMRC probably won't like that, and they'll be back in for case. This is what I was trying to say before, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah. And this is why it was better that it all sat on paper owned by Jason. But because of what happened with Mehul or whatever, let's not get into it. But ultimately, I just tell the truth. But I don't think it makes sense to include you if they look at the history, again, no offence, mate, I don't mean to bring this up, but if they look at the history and say, well, what, you're going to bring somebody
that
sold money? It just doesn't look right, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe the best way would be to give Mehul those shares, or they are non-voted shares, but we saw that in the future.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's possible, and nor do I want to exclude Mehul shareholding. So that
yeah.
be part of it. I will basically say those shares are held, but actually there's an understanding that a percentage of those shares are due to Mr. Mehul Patel, because he's assisted in lots of the process and blah, blah. And,
yeah.
and I would like to be able to say that going forward, but, you know, the future will be the future. But effectively, the last thing we want is that I think Rambo is probably now filing a petition at court to winding up. That will override any voluntary thing unless we do it quickly. And therefore, we need to do the fast track shareholders agreement. So basically, board meeting, board, the directors say, look, you know, company's not trading. We thought we could maybe do something with it. We can't. We can't pay the bills, our legal bills. We need to wind it up. David Bailey's going to leave his bills against that company on the kind of handshake behind the scenes that we'll sort them out in the future. And we've got good faith there, because we did do that with the whole Tetman thing. and then we just bury Ram Limited, and we then have our IP guy fucking looking at it. And the reality is, you can't say this to me, but the reality is, you know, he's going to fucking protect us, mate. I know this guy, Richard Rowan. So when Ram comes knocking me, I'll just go, fuck off, mate. You fucking embezzled bastard.
Yeah.
You're the reason the company's gone and saying, I'm not even willing to spend money. There is no money to investigate it. La, la, la. And if not, then we have to turn around and pay him at that point. But I'd rather just not give him the money. And then we and then the next conversation, which I don't want to get into now, is do we proceed with the legal, with the criminal thing?
Yeah.
Because I'd rather give 25 grand to that process than 25 grand to Rambia's pocket. Because basically, if I give her, and the other thing is, if Rambia gets this 25 grand, what do you think his next step's going to be?
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's why I've not heard from him. He's waiting for... He's waiting for money to get it back at me.
And then he's coming after you.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's another reason why I don't want him to get it. And then we can talk about the criminal thing like next Monday, Tuesday, next week. But for now, the main thing is I need you to speak to Mehul. I just need an agreement that he will agree to do the fast track winding up in the next 2 or 3 days so that we get to appoint the IP guy. And that's all I need, mate.
So two things, and I know I've said this on before, with David Bailey, the agreement, the settlement agreement that's in place with RAN, does all of that still hold if the company is bankrupt, if the company is insolvent, i.e. there isn't any RAN Limited anymore, so does that settlement agreement still cover everyone else? And the reason I ask it is because all of the other...
I'm getting you, so this is a very key question. I'm writing it down, and I'm going to ring him now, and I'm going to ring him back.
Yeah, so I'll ask him if
it's not, and actually it's not is Matthew Jones, it's Matthew,
it's everyone,
and,
yeah,
and all,
because no one is named in that settlement agreement. It just says other parties. If everyone was named in it, then it would be solid, no problem, no worry, don't have to worry about it. But it just says Rand Limited has settled,
including the defendant. Though. It does say including other defendants. Go and read the clause, mate. Because I need to as well. I'm sure it says all parties, including other defendants.
Yeah, but then how does if? But regardless, then the question is if the settlement agreement found limited is not there, can the defendants still use that agreement? Because I'm not a party to that agreement because I don't, you know, in reality I don't know about it.
Okay. But it does say the other defendants, in which case that protects you. But what is the key question we're asking here? So I've got written down in front of me now. Is MC and all, because this, to be fair, mate,
it's everyone. Yes, everyone.
Well,
yeah.
Selfishly.
Yeah.
Still protected by the Singh settlement if RAN Limited insolvent.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna put get in writing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll ask Bailey about that because that is important.
Okay. That's question one, yours. Next question two.
Second one is, it's still not clear to me where my debt on paper is sitting. It sounds like...
Okay, basically, what I was saying, sorry, I didn't finish it. So you asked me that question earlier. As I understand it, the transaction that has occurred is that Real Time Analysis and News sold Ranscourt, the trading business, to the Jet Group Limited, owned by Jason Earl, to compensate for the debt that was owed to Jason Earl for his IP.
Yeah.
Not only for that reason, but also because as a business, it could no longer continue as it had no major news wires.
Yeah.
That it could utilise. Yes.
Yeah.
So it could no longer that way. As part of that settlement, from RAN to Jet.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Jet company paid X amount of money for transferred income to an equivalent amount, and this is where we do need to speak to double check with Albie. I'm happy to have a three-way with Albie, and not in a sexual sense. And your debt was also transferred. So effectively, if they'd given cash, and the amount was 1.4 million, they would have given cash to the point of 800,000, and your debt 600,000.
So, because there's lots of stuff going on with RAN Limited and Jet at the moment, can I get something if I manage to?
Well, I actually think that we will be over a barrel to you, mate, as opposed to the other way around, because I actually think, and we should do it as part of this winding up process, I actually think there does need to be that letter from you saying, I agree. So I need to get, there needs to be this letter, which we talked about before, MC letter stating MC agrees to assignment, yeah, of debt by RAN Limited.
He means to backdate it from whenever, well, not backdate it, find it from whenever.
We just need a duplicate of the one we signed before, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. And then at the same time,
and then I think the debt then sits with Jet, yeah. And then we need to work out how to wind that debt.
I need to find the contract that we drafted back in the day where I'm getting paid a consultancy fee, and then I need an email from whoever is directors of Jet to say that's, you know, I've, any consideration there has all been fulfilled, or whatever wording there is.
Yeah. So long as that ensures that you still help us going forward, because you're basically my, and I mean this sincerely, and I was going to make it a joke, but I'm not going to make it a joke. You are actually sincerely my most valuable counsel.
No, but that's the, you can hold me to that, no problem.
I'll hold you to that on a handshake, mate.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Okay, and you can hold me to the fact that I want you and Mehul and Anthony to get shares. So if you don't get the shares and you don't get just dues on the similar basis that we've talked about, then you can tell me to go fuck yourself, set up a Scorpion store and screw me.
No, I'm out of Scorpion.
And but you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, totally.
I'm on my word and you on your word, and yeah. You know what, if we don't, then we may as well just be the same. All right, mate, yeah, same page. So I will basically check those two things. So I will ring David Bailey now,
yep,
and ask him that one question, and I will ring Alby now and clarify my assumption on point two.
Yep.
You will ring Mehul and say, please can he agree to fast-track the winding up so that we get the IP, not Rambir.
Yep. I'll just put something in writing that we can use later on. Directors of Jet can email me to say blah blah blah.
Yeah, and do that. And the other thing you should do, mate, is you asked me to remove some stuff from company's house. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
georgebusfield@hotmail.com. Yeah, if you send it to there, or if you don't want to send it, WhatsApp it. If you don't want to send it, then just write it out and call me. Whatever you feel comfortable with. Yeah. But, you know, just tell me how to fucking do it, because I haven't got time to research myself, mate.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, so tell me, George, point one, contact these guys, point two, do this, and I'll try and remove anything you want me to get removed, okay?
Cool, nice one. Thanks, mate.
Let me know when you spoke to Mehul, the yes or no. I'll come back to you on the other 2 points, okay?
Cool, I'll call him now. Cheers.
Thanks a million, mate.
Bye.